Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome, everybody, to Hometown Ghost Stories. Tonight, we are reviewing the movie Trick or Treat, not to be confused with the movie Trick or Treat. And the one we are doing is from 2007. I am your host, Rob. I am joined, as always, by Dave Wilkins.
What's going on?
And also Jesse Wilkins.
How are you, friends?
They're brothers!
Oh, my God. Update. Big update 1 year later.
Breaking news.
So Trick or Treat is the movie tonight. Just a quick disclaimer. This review will be full of spoilers, just like all of our other reviews. And spoiler for the rest of our reviews, all of our reviews will be full of spoilers. But if you haven't watched Trick or Treat yet, we're going to say trick or treat, but it's trick, letter R. We're going to say it the way it's supposed to be said. It's trick or treat. If you haven't seen it yet, make sure you go see this one. It's a banger.
And you can actually go see it in theaters. It's being released in theaters for the first time right now. We try to do these as evergreen, but if it's, you know, if you're listening or watching this as this comes out, it is going to hit theaters for a few days. So, Dave, why don't you hit us with a synopsis for this movie?
Trick or Treat is a Trick or Treat is a 2007 American anthology horror comedy film written and directed by Michael Dougherty and produced by Bryan Singer. The film stars Dylan Baker, Rochelle Ates, Anna Paquin, and Brian Cox. It relates four Halloween horror stories with a common element in them. Sam, a trick-or-treater wearing orange footy pajamas with a burlap sack over his head. The character makes an appearance in other stories whenever one of the other characters breaks a Halloween tradition. So, I've watched this movie pretty much every single Halloween since it first came out. Yeah. And, not since it first came out, since first Rob told me about it, which was probably close to when it first came out. And I just love this movie. Quick, we already warned you about the spoilers. Spoiler alert, this is my favorite surprise vampire movie of all time. It's definitely the best one. And
where the hell are the vampire?
Vampire, I mean surprise werewolf movie.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say, hit you with a curveball real quick off the bat. What's funny about this movie is how it's become like an absolute cult classic, and it was originally just hated by the studio off the bat, and nobody wanted to let these guys make this movie. And when it finally did come out, everyone just absolutely loved it, myself included. If you've watched these horror movie reviews before, you know that I'm a sucker for short horror films. And this is basically just a compilation of short horror films that are all kind of strung together. And every single one is excellent in its own way. So I don't know how you guys want to do this.
I just want to piggyback off that a little bit, because this movie was, I believe it was supposed to come out in like 2005 or 2006 or something like that. I don't remember the exact year, but as you said, the studio hated this movie. They didn't even give it a theatrical release. And it kind of just went to film festivals for 2 years and just sat there until they finally like quietly released it on like a DVD release. And this is back when people were buying a ton of DVDs, still in that heyday, like, you know, the mid 2000s. And like you said, it just started picking up more and more and more steam. I remember the commercials for it. So they had commercials coming out for this movie on other DVDs where they were advertising it. And I was always wondering, I'm like, that movie looked like it was going to be fun. Where did this movie go? And then finally, 2 years later, I was like, looking at a shelf, I'm like, when did that come out? I thought it was like, I remember seeing trailers for this movie. And that's like a real weird story for this particular movie that ended up being a cult classic.
Yeah, I feel like that's the case with a lot of horror movies, particularly horror movies that were just, the studio hated them, and then it came out and everyone loved them. They turned into cult classics. I think Evil Dead was one of them like that. And or they couldn't get, you know, Evil Dead was like with like no funding and whatnot. But
right,
anytime like the studio hates an idea, I feel like the directors are like, good. That means it's going to be good.
Right.
And it's usually like, because the studio sucks. The studios suck. They just want what they think is going to be mainstream. They
Unless
want what everyone's going to like.
Movie, then you're great studios.
What's that?
Unless they're going to make our movie, then, you know, you're a great studio.
Yeah, we love the studios. What I was just saying is like how much we love the studios and all their ideas are really good. We don't have any movies in the works, so.
Yeah, so this movie never went to theaters. You said it's coming to theaters soon?
Yeah, they're releasing it this year in theaters for like a limited run.
They finally like got their shit together. So this movie was made off a $12 million budget and it basically broke even when all was said and done after like the DVD release and the Blu-ray sales and everything. So it's like, if you just put it in theaters, this movie would have been a smash. Everybody loves this movie.
Right.
So it's like, you know, a $12 million budget is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, like this was a very, very well done movie. I mean, the effects were great. There wasn't a single thing that I was like, ooh, that didn't even really work. Like even the surprise werewolf scene, which should have been really bad, actually, they still pulled it off.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Any other movie, that scene is awful. In this movie, it was awesome. So it was like, with what they had, they still made a great movie. It's just mind-boggling to me that the studio didn't want to make money off of this because they would have.
So let's jump into the movie. The one thing, to wrap that little conversation up, I own like 3 or 4 Blu-rays and that's it. And this is one of them. This is like one of 4 movies I own on Blu-ray because I love this movie so much. But so like that kind of gives you a little hint at where my star rating's going. But yeah, let's get into it. Let's start at the beginning where they start by like showing you like the town basically. And they start with this couple that's walking home. They give you that old school trick or treating. Yeah, it's all great stuff. And then they start telling you about the rules of Halloween. And it's exposition, but it's done really well. I love that opening scene. And I'll let you take it from here, Dave. But this, I think they really set the groundwork for this movie great in the opening.
Yeah. And like I was saying, it gets real John Carpenter vibes. I got, at least. You kind of saw, like, you get that same feeling that you got with It Follows with that opening scene. I think these two opening scenes are very similar. And these are all short stories, so you want to ideally you want them to grab you quick, and this one does. So this opening scene with the two trick or treaters and the girlfriend basically just doesn't like how she's like, I hate Halloween,
right?
And she broke the first rule of Halloween is you don't talk about Halloween. The second rule of Halloween is you don't talk about Halloween. But she says she doesn't like Halloween, and the boyfriend goes inside, and she starts ripping all the the decorations down.
Well, to clarify, the rule that she broke was taking down the Halloween decorations before Halloween was over.
Right, right.
It wasn't
right.
She hated Halloween.
I was making a Fight Club joke. I just wanted to tie it in there.
It just didn't hit home.
I don't know. What do you want from me? I'm not funny.
Jokes. Apparently less Fight Club jokes.
I'm doing an English accent next time.
So
she breaks the rules by tearing the Halloween decorations down, and she pays dearly for it in a really gruesome kill scene. And you know, it happens right in front of a bunch of trick-or-treating kids, which is extra hilarious. And he basically comes out and finds her just dead and like impaled on the fence out there, and it was
cool. he first like saw her limbs dangling, but wasn't sure if they were Halloween decorations or not, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and that sets the tone for this movie. And then we get into kind of the first story, which is the principal and his son, right? That's how they open it. And what a great opening story, because the twists and turns that this one takes is pretty amazing, I think. Jesse, I'll let you start jiving on this one.
It was a crazy scene. The craziest twist was obviously at the end. So you got the little kid who looks like a bully. I think it's the kid from...
Bad Santa.
Yeah. So he's just basically that. And there's always one of them, you know, the kid that goes up to the house where there's a bowl of candy and says, take one. And of course, he's just taking fistfuls of candy. Yeah, exactly. And
I thought you were going to say the biggest twist was that it was Principal Wilkins. I thought that's where we were going.
I thought you were going with it.
Yeah. A lot of Wilkinses going on in these
stories lately.
Yeah. The episodes and the horror movies and everything. But yeah.
Demand.
We are indeed. So, that was played by Dylan Baker. He played Steven in the movie. He was the principal, and he was kind of a recurring character throughout actually a few of these stories. And
he is excellent in this movie. He plays this part. I think everyone in this movie particularly plays their part well, but him specifically is like incredible. And the one thing I just want to bring up as we go through these stories is, even though we're focusing on the one story, they do a great job of interweaving some of the other stories throughout the narrative. As you're exactly. watching this one, like, you still see the girls trying on the costumes in the beginning of this movie for the Anna Paquin sequence. You see the neighbor, which comes back to play later when he's in the backyard burying the body for the, not even the kid that we were just talking about. You guys, did you guys realize that's a different kid that he's burying in the backyard?
There was also a few bodies in that
right,
in that grave too.
Right, but the one that he's burying in particular right there is in a clown costume, so it's a completely different kid that he's burying than the real kid. Yeah, he's a serial killer. He's killing these kids on Halloween, and
like how they sell him as a serial killer to open it, but you find out why he's a serial killer as the movie goes on.
Right.
Which I think is pretty cool. And this one, like this storyline in particular interweaves throughout the whole one really nicely.
Yeah.
They all do, but this one in particular, I thought kind of weaves through the best.
And did a good job tying in where he's, you know, burying the body, and then you have the interaction with the neighbor. And my favorite line from that is when the neighbor's like, "What are you doing back there? Burying bodies?" Which is exactly what he's doing. And meanwhile, he's having the struggle with the kid in the clown costume or whatever, and he's just beating this kid to death with a shovel, which like should not be a funny scene at all, but it was still comedy. Like it was still
right.
It was still funny.
It's a good point. It's a good observation. Awful.
Yeah,
because like if you couldn't screw that up and make that scene, if you're trying to make it funny, you could really blow it and it could be not funny and end up being worse than it would have been if you weren't trying to be funny. But the way they're able to take that and make it funny really shows off their artistic talent of the team that put this movie together.
Throws the finger to the dog to distract it.
Yes, that was great too. And then we get into his son coming out and starting to like call out to him and this annoying kid, and you just see him being like a father, like just being so stressed, and he's just like, oh my God, he hates his kid. Like his kid's just like annoying the shit out of him. And you see him eventually grab the knife, and you think he's gonna go after his own kid with a knife. And then you get the big twist at the end where they go into the basement and they want to carve the pumpkin. And the pumpkin is the big kid's head. And he says he's got to start with the eyes. And it's just such that whole narrative.
Yeah.
Is just and
it was,
so
it was
well
actually twisted because the kid was excited to carve the pumpkin, quote unquote.
Right.
And the pumpkin is just a human head. So
and big, that shows you that he's done this before. It's not the first time he's doing this with them. So it is like this family tradition of serial killers, and they're all pretty tapped and twisted.
Phenomenal. Yeah, just phenomenal scene. I mean, to follow up the opening scene with that it was great. And then we transition. Where does it take us next?
Well, I believe the next one is the next one, the school bus.
I think so. Or there might be some Anna. When is Anna Paquin?
So
she comes in.
They're tying that in pretty throughout, but I believe it's the school bus is next on.
Yeah.
The,
on I mean, we don't have to go through the exact timeline of the movie. We have this problem with these movie reviews where we describe the entire movie from start to finish. So I think we just hit on some of our favorite scenes from the movie and how they tied it in. But so you have.
I'm pretty sure. So like just to expand upon that point, I believe this happens first because you hear werewolves in the background of this scene. They hear all the kids hear the werewolves and you're like, oh, they hear wolves. And then you find out later who those werewolves were.
Oh, you know, I didn't even notice that. I've seen this.
There's actually little. So how many times have you seen the movie once, Jesse?
I have seen it, I think, 3 times now.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So you're picking up. Are you picking up now on the scene? I know you just watched it a week ago, so it's pretty good. You're picking up on all like the little Easter eggs from the werewolves? Oh,
a week ago was not my first time seeing it. You guys had told me to watch this like a couple of years ago.
So oh, okay.
I did watch it, and then I watched it again, and then I watched it again like yesterday or the day before.
Right.
Regardless. So my point is like the second and third and fourth time I watched this movie, every time I watch this movie, I pick up another like werewolf Easter egg because they dropped him all over the place in this movie. And a couple of them are really funny. Like when she knocks on the door and says, "Let me in," and it was one of them that I thought was good. And of course, now that I'm drawing a blank on them,
that's interesting. And now I'm gonna have to look for it. So
I mean, she's Little Red Riding Hood. That's the biggest.
That's another one. Yep.
So she's there's this whole scene where she's being stalked as Little Red Riding Hood through the forest, and like Little Red Riding Hood would be from the wolf. Although the twist is you think that it ends up being a vampire, but the twist to that twist is that she's actually the werewolf. Mm-hmm. And what you don't realize during one of those scenes where they're all in the woods, I know we're jumping around, which is fine. All the guys are already dead. As they're having these conversations and stuff, like if you look around, all of the guys are already dead, like for the most part. So.
Yeah, you think some of them are like drunk and passed out.
Yeah.
And, they're like, oh, we have one for you. And it's like, you think it's like a guy to hook up. You think their conversation the entire time, because they never let on that they're werewolves, unless you're picking up on the little hints. But you think that she's just going to this party to try to lose her virginity, and they're all making fun of her for being a virgin. In all reality, they're making fun of her for not, like, I don't know, eating her first person or something.
Right.
Or whatever it is that werewolves do.
Yeah. So, and a fun little tidbit on that scene is the guy that they got for her, the big guy in the baby suit. Did you guys both see 13 Ghosts?
Yeah.
The movie. So the same guy that plays that big baby was the guy that played like the big son ghost in 13 Ghosts as well. Oh, so that's a little fun callback. So I enjoyed that as well.
We got to go back and while we're talking about it, we got to go back and review 13 Ghosts. I want to go back and rewatch that one because I remember not liking it, but I keep seeing people like raving.
Really?
About it. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to rewatch it. It's an enjoyable movie. It's one of the ones that I do enjoy from that decade of like bad horror movies. There are some gems in there. I think that's one of them. So let's get to the kids with the pumpkins as the next little one that we go through. We kind of hit on that werewolf scene. And again, you kind of see some of the stuff going on throughout all of this that are tying in. Like I said, the werewolf sound in this one with the kids is something that I don't think a lot of people pick up on, but each scene is intertwining somehow with some of the other ones. So these kids, they are trick-or-treating. They are setting up a joke to be mean to this girl that has carved all these pumpkins. She's a little different than the rest of the kids. She has like, you know, she's got some social anxiety and stuff. And they're going to play that against her, which, you know, is kids. We've talked about this before. Kids are cruel and they're kids horrible. Do this type of stuff. Yeah. So they invite her out to trick-or-treat with them, and she brings her pumpkins, and what they end up doing is going to these quarries, and they start telling the tale of this bus that went over the edge. And if one of you want to jump in, you can go ahead and tell that story a little bit.
Yeah, so it was an elaborate prank that these kids set up at this location where they tell this tale that sounds like a far-fetched tale of basically this school driver who drove a bunch of mentally challenged kids to this quarry. Basically, the families, they were sick of raising their kids or dealing with them or whatever. So they all chipped in money to pay off this bus driver to drive these kids off a cliff and into the quarry. So he does so. There's a bit of an uprising in the bus that they show in the flashback scene, which is really well done. And basically, the bus still goes over, but the bus driver was apparently inside of the bus. Maybe he wasn't. We'll figure that out later on.
The kid going wrong way. You see all these kids chained up on the bus, but they're all pretty docile. So this must have been something that they normally done, which is cruel, but this was part of their normal thing. So all of them are just sitting there getting ready to go. And then they start driving a different direction. And the one kid in the Dracula costume is going wrong way. And it's really unsettling. This kid go wrong way. And that's part of the greatness of this movie is it intertwines comedy and like some real uneasiness throughout it. And this is probably one of the most uneasy scenes of the entire movie. So he's going wrong way. And he's trying to like get loose and get off the bus. And then we see how this ends with them going off the quarry and into the lake.
Yeah. So they pull up or they arrive. I mean, they walk to this quarry or whatever, these kids in like present day. And they all go down this little elevator shaft thing. Which takes them down into the quarry. And sure enough, that school bus is actually still sitting there. And then the kids have this big elaborate prank set up, which I thought was a little bit too elaborate, but that still didn't take any points away from me from this movie where their costumes were, they were just too good at this. And they basically scare the living hell out of this girl.
Yeah.
And what were you guys said? Did you think that was a little too good? Because I felt like it was too good. Too good of a prank for these kids to be able to pull off. It was just too well done. In my opinion, the costumes were too good. The kid with the bloody sausageness, you know, like whatever he had, like he had that looked like his intestines. I just felt like it was, I knew it was a prank because you could see where the scene was going, but I just felt like for a bunch of like 12-year-old kids, they did way too good in this scene.
The movie wasn't going for like practicality though. So it's like you have to, so in this movie, when they have like vampires and werewolves and just wacky stuff going on, you know, it's a half comedy, half horror movie. You got to suspend your disbelief a little bit, right? So I'm not going to pick apart like, well, that doesn't seem like an accurate portrayal of kids playing a prank in the same movie where there's vampires and werewolves.
I think it's fine, like because it's not like it was a spur of the moment prank. This was something they had set up. So yeah, like as you're saying that it's set up, if they were doing this like spur of the moment, like they're like, oh, let's go down this elevator shaft and we'll act like we're dead and stuff, and they just have all this stuff, then sure, like I would definitely agree with that. But where the fact that this was a clear setup the entire time, this is what they were going to do. Like, all right, maybe they had some of the stuff. It's dark, it's misty, so it's going to look a little more visceral, I guess. I mean, again
it didn't take anything away from the movie for me. It was just a simple observation. We don't have to go.
No, I gotcha.
Just to shoot, like the short answer to your question, we like, if this was a movie where they weren't going for funny or supernatural or just supposed to be like a practical horror movie, yes, I would agree with you 100%. Like, it's too much. But this movie is more just like a fun horror movie. It's some stuff like that much. Doesn't. Yeah.
So at this point, you know, they've played this prank on her. The one guy feels a little bit bad about it, but he still went through with it. So like you kind of are supposed to feel a little sympathetic for him when shit hits the fan, but you kind of don't, because it's like, well, you still went through with this. And
yeah, I mean, I feel like he was also, I feel like that was part of the ruse though. Like when he showed up to her house, he's like, I really like your pumpkins. They needed her pumpkins for the prank. They needed her for the prank. And if right. no one's being nice to her, she's not going to go along. So I think that kid was bullshitting the whole time.
Well, that way afterwards though.
Yeah, true.
So
but I think the point of him was to show that even though he was remorseful, he still went along with it. Or despite the fact that he was remorseful, he still broke the rules.
Right. I think that's exactly what it is. So, and then after all this elaborate prank, the kids from the bus start coming out of the lake and going after these kids that have now broken the rules of Halloween, where they smashed a bunch of the pumpkins, right? Isn't that what happened down there? And they pay the ultimate price, and you don't feel too bad for them because they seem to be kind of shitty kids. I don't think they probably should have died over it.
You don't think they deserve to be murdered horribly?
I guess not.
It's a fun Halloween movie.
Yeah. So they get taken out by the kids, and the one girl that they played the prank on, she goes back up the elevator, and she has her pumpkin with her still as she's going up the elevator. So she's adhering to the traditions of Halloween. As she goes up, she passes by Sam. And that's another thing that you see in all these scenes. Once something has happened, Sam is there to indicate, you know, that somebody has broken a rule of Halloween. And
Sam gives her a pass because she followed the rules. It was an important scene.
Right, exactly. And I think that brings us to the neighbor. So it ties back all the way around, and we go and we see what was happening at the neighbor's house, because we've already touched on the werewolf scene, which was next. And then we get to the neighbor of Principal Wilkins.
Just before we go into that, because we did briefly touch about vampires and the werewolf scene. The most important thing that this movie did was make the vampire not be a real vampire, because when I was watching, I was like, oh, they really had to mix in a stupid like vampire. And then it turns out that's just the principal again, and he's just got this mask on, so obviously you don't recognize him. And I was so glad that it wasn't a real vampire and he just gets absolutely dominated by these werewolves.
So we should probably touch on that, because that scene's great.
Real quick, I want to push a little bit back on the stupid vampire thing, because vampires have only been stupid for the past like 10-15 years. Before that, vampires were the coolest Halloween monster.
Yeah, but this wasn't a cool vampire. It was like, I didn't like the vampire character. I was just glad that when they killed him, I was like, oh, that actually makes it so much better. It was just a Halloween costume. You got to remember that he's also still a murderer. Like, he still murdered a girl in that vampire costume and then just laid her dead body down next to a bunch of drunk people or junkies or whatever. And she blended right in. And because it's Halloween, he just gets away with it. No one bats an eye at it. Oh, yeah. Like, she's bleeding from the neck. That's a cool costume. It was a very cool scene.
And when the tables are turned on him, that scene is amazing. So he's basically torn limb from limb and he's just laying there, right? And he's looking around and he's seeing everything and he's realizing what's going on. And the murderer has become the hunted one. And I think she even does the whole my what big eyes you have thing or something like that, which is amazing. So yeah, kudos to that whole scene all around. The transformation scene is great in that too. Like you were saying earlier, you were like, yeah, some movies transformation scenes don't work. I thought between doing the eyes, the change of like these sexy women that are ripping the literal flesh off to become these werewolves, and then the animatronics instead of going for CGI. Thank God they did it that way.
Yeah.
Thank God they didn't go the CGI direction.
Yeah, 2007 was not a good time.
No.
For CGI.
So they did use a little bit of CGI in it, but it was just to touch on a few of the things, and it's not noticeable at all, in my opinion. So.
Oh, right. But to try and tackle something huge like a
right.
werewolf transformation
right.
scene, that would have been
awful.
Gross.
It would have been terrible. So I'm really happy for the way they did it, especially because there's been werewolf transformation scenes from the 1940s that were great, that were done really well based on the limited technology. If you go back to the Lon Chaney werewolf movies, mm-hmm. that was great. American Werewolf in London did a great yep. transformation scene as well in the 1980s. So if you were going to try to do one with CGI, it would have just like killed the movie. Anyways, let's jump into the last scene real quick, which is the neighbor of Principal Wilkins, who is pretty much not into Halloween, doesn't like trick-or-treaters, and I'll let you take it from here, Dave.
Yeah, so this guy is he's your typical curmudgeon, just sitting in on Halloween, doesn't want to interact with his trick-or-treaters or anything, just a grumpy old man sitting in his chair. And
he was playing tricks on the kids, though. So they asked trick or treat, and he has his dog scare them away with his little DJI mask. So he wasn't necessarily breaking the rules here, but he certainly got what was coming to him was the final twist in the movie.
Right.
Right. And the final twist in the movie was the knock at the door, and he opens the door, and it is our little character, Sam, standing at the front door. Yes. So at this point, you don't really know what Sam is yet. You just know that he's there and that he keeps showing up, and you're like, all right, well, he's here. So this guy's fucked. And he was. So
do you want a little interesting tidbit real quick?
Sure.
Do you remember the opening scene, one of the opening scenes where the little kid is trying to look underneath the changing area when the girls are trying on the costumes?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the kid that plays Sam throughout the movie. So, fun little Easter egg there.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah. So, you can go ahead. I just figured I'd throw that out there while I was thinking about it.
Sam was played by Quinn Lord, by the way. That was the kid who was walking around with the
right.
Sam stuff. But when they took off his mask in the this final fight scene, it certainly wasn't Quinn Lord under that mask. It was a crazy pumpkin demon monster.
Yeah.
Are they paying homage to Pumpkinhead there?
Because it does.
It looked like a mini Pumpkinhead.
It does kind of look like Pumpkinhead. It has that aura. What did you guys think about this? So basically there's a big fight scene between this guy and Sam for about like 10 minutes, which is amazing, by the way. I love this entire sequence. What did you think about the mask coming off? Were you guys for it? Were you against it?
I was initially against it, but every time I've watched the movie since, I love it more and more.
So I'm kind of the same way with it. I'm like,
yeah.
I think it's fine.
I like that he put it back on. If he didn't put it back on, it would have been unsettling for me. But eventually the mask goes back on and he continues on his way.
I thought it was creepier with the mask on than it was with the mask off. Right?
Definitely. But
mask on and then mask off, you get a little bit of too much monster. But again, like every time I watch this movie, I like it more and more because it's like, yeah, it's one of my favorite movies.
There's my little pumpkin monster. It's fine, dude. At this point, the movie is like, you're not watching this movie to be like terrified. You're watching this movie because it's fucking awesome and it's fun and it's scary enough. You know, it's got enough gore. It's kind of a comedy. Like this movie's so good at that point I'm like, fuck it, do whatever you want. Like, dude, I watched Evil Dead 2 yesterday, and that whole movie I was like, yeah, fuck it, do whatever you want. we'll get to that review when we go through it, but it's like it's fine. Some movies it's fine, some movies it's like, dude, why did you do that? Like when you have like a scary like demon or something in a movie that is scaring the shit out of you the whole time, then all of a sudden they take off its face and it's like some really bad stupid creepers. Yeah, Jeepers Creepers, Mama, whatever. It's like when you have those, it's like you fucked up. In this movie, I'm like, it's fine. We're having fun.
Yeah.
So it was fine with me.
And the thing is, like, I think we could do this review for like 3 hours and I could talk about this movie because I love it so much. And the final twist is Sam doesn't even kill this guy, right? So like Sam, some of the Home Alone like stuff in that fight scene was good with like the candy being weapons and stuff. It's just so good. That everything is so good. It's just such a good movie. Yeah.
He messed him up good enough.
Yeah.
And then you thought he was going to survive the ordeal. And then, you know, the doorbell rings and the final twist is all those kids are there because it turns out he was the bus driver.
Right.
And that was the final twist in the movie. And it all ties back in. So we're sitting here thinking that the bus driver died.
Yep.
With all the kids. And it turns out he had been living there the whole time.
Because he was paid off by the parents to do it.
And maybe that's why he hated Halloween, was because, you know, this was on Halloween. Kids had all their Halloween costumes. Of course, he doesn't want to be reminded of that terrible incident.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of anthology movies with a bunch of short stories. Mm-hmm. There's some good ones out there. But to me, nothing ties all the stories together quite as well as this one does. And there's some, I think Tales of Halloween, if I'm remembering if I'm remembering correctly, does a decent job of that as well. You'll see some stuff that happens in between and they tie together, but this one in particular just does it to another level. Like it's just so well done.
It does it so well that it's almost not an anthology.
Right. It almost didn't feel like it had to be. I do have to ask you guys, I don't know if you guys know or not, but they had alluded to a bunch of comics at the end of the movie in the credits. Were these originally like three separate comics? Do you know?
I don't know if I used to know this and I don't remember it off the top of my head right now. I think some comics came out afterwards.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, but there are some comics. And
I just thought like almost like a Marvel movie where they show like, you know, the pages of a comic in the intro or whatever. This is kind of what they did in the, they might have done in the intro as well, but I think they definitely did it at the end credits.
Yeah, I think it was started off as like an homage to like Tales from the Crypt and those type of things, where Tales from the Crypt was comics before it was a show. So that's what I would say they were doing there. So why don't we get into our reviews? I'm guessing I know how this is going to go, but I'll just go ahead and say I'm 5 stars on this.
5 stars.
Yeah, across the board, 5 stars. This movie's phenomenal.
Go watch this movie if you haven't watched it yet. It's fun. It's Halloween season. This is one of the best.
Every year I watch
this. This is the Halloween movie for me. It's like I watch this. I watch Nightmare Before Christmas with the kids. Like you know, this is on my list of. Yeah, I just watched that the other night with the kids. I loved it.
It's so funny.
It's this is on the list of horror movies you absolutely have to watch.
Yeah, and I've been seeing rumors floating around of a sequel coming out. And normally, like,
love it.
This far off, I would be like, it's too late for a sequel. Not with this, man. They can do so many fun things. You don't even have to call back to
They could do a completely different movie and call it a sequel. A completely that has nothing. It brings, obviously, you got to bring Sam back. So you know, the director wanted Sam to be, he was like, you know, Easter has the Easter Bunny, Christmas has Santa Claus, and you know, the Leprechaun he's like, what is Halloween doesn't have one. So he wanted Sam to be that. Hasn't quite got there yet, but he's well on his way, I think.
He's getting there.
Yeah, maybe if the next one actually hits the fucking movies, maybe they'll have a chance. So I'm sure they've learned their lesson.
You guys know that I collect the Funko Pops.
Yeah,
one of the only
Funko Pop.
I've sold it. And I sold a lot of my Funkos and got rid of them. And the one that I regret still selling is my original Sam Funko Pop, even though I made a ton of money on it. I'm just like, wish I kept that one. Wish I didn't sell that original one.
Probably could have made more if you waited. But
yeah,
you had to buy those cool red headphones. So now we're set up to make some more stories. Speaking of which, we have to go live in 7 minutes with an actual episode here. So let's wrap it up, gentlemen. That was a Trick or Treat. Phenomenal movie. 5 stars across the board. Did we get a five? Did we all do 5 stars on what was
Conjuring?
The one? Conjuring?
That might have been the other one. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get into more of that as we continue on.
But watch this movie. Watch this movie. Trick or Treat is one of the best. Anyways, that's going to do it for this horror movie review. Make sure you like, subscribe. If you jump on Patreons, we have a couple extra horror movie reviews here and there that you don't get on the podcast feed or on the main YouTube channel. So check us out. $3 is the low tier, and you get access to all the content. But until next time, we will catch you later. Peace.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.